NPR.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Local Edition, a Friday evening. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm your host, Patricio Roballo. It's Friday on the Local Edition, so we have the one and only Chris Rowley on the phone with us now. Let's talk about a developing story that's coming out of Ellenville. So for the first time, the Department of Homeland Security has issued an administrative subpoena to the Board of Elections there, demanding the voting records of an Ellenville resident. According to the article in Shuwankuk Journal, federal officials say it's part of an inquiry into immigration laws and possible voter fraud. The move has raised questions among local officials, immigrant advocates, and the community. And to help us understand what's happening, like I said, we are joined by the one and only Chris Rowley from the Shuwankuk Journal, who co-wrote the article with John D'Amico, who has been following the story closely. Chris, welcome back to the program. So, Chris, tell us, what can you tell us about this story?
Well, it's hard. It's very hard to know. No one official is talking much. The information came basically from a subpoena that Immigration and Customs fed to the Ulster County Board of Elections. And this story is broken by the Times Union, who have a good connection with the Board of Elections, that's all I can assume. And that an individual, this was this individual, you know, was filling out a form at the DMV bus in Ellenville, which is usually there on Wednesdays. And they ticked a box or filled in something and claimed to be registering to vote. That's as far as I understand it. And I'm sure it was a mistake. And if this person was here illegally or was not yet a citizen or whatever, they made a very bad mistake. And that mistake was reported, and ICE are looking for them. And, and so now we have just a touch of this business that we've read about from Los Angeles and other parts of the country is now here in Ulster County. And it's not unique to Ulster. In our article, we noted also that while Ulster County is a sanctuary county by law, but the law does say explicitly that they will cooperate with court orders, but the subpoena in Ulster County was not isolated. There was Saratoga and Putnam counties received similar subpoenas from the Department of Homeland Security, and there were three people in Saratoga, and two residents of Putnam County received subpoenas. This business has reached the Mid-Hudson Valley and is continuing. Unfortunately, we don't know very much. I have not been able to get any name for this person. The election officials in Kingston aren't returning phone calls. surprise, surprise. Yeah. And it's a little bit mysterious, but it is a little ominous as well, because, you know, we've seen on TV the various aspects of this operation that are frightening, the masks and the lack of identities, and you don't know who these people are, and, you know, they carry weapons sometimes or all the time, and they can grab you and grab anybody.
Yeah.
And whisk away. I mean, they can grab somebody. And somebody actually sort of warned me. They said, you know, you should be careful. And I said, why? Why should I should be careful? And said, well, you don't sound like you come from around here. Mm. Yes, that's true. But I was born in America. Yeah, you know, I was born in America before any long ago.
Right.
I was born. But I grew up in England.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I'm an American. I have an American passport and all
yeah,
that.
I think the real worry is from what I'm hearing, and I have not experienced or have not seen this, is, you know, people who are brown skin, you know, are being picked up or being questioned of their Americanness. I heard a report on NPR that this lady who immigrated here was adopted into America from Nicaragua. And, you know, she got in her 50s, married, you know, has a career here, got stopped and supposedly by ICE and telling her, you know, she says, I'm American here. I live here. I work here. And told her, well, you don't look American. And and that's what's happened. People are automatically thinking that has happened to me personally. People think I wasn't born here or whatever. But and I was like, no, born here, born in the Bronx, New York. Never lived in different country or anything like that. So it's frightening for that aspect that could happen in this country right now.
Absolutely. And there was, I think I read there was a judge in California said, yeah, it was okay for the ICE agents to identify people just by looking at them, you know, just by their appearance, which is saying, oh, okay, so if they're brown skinned, you can stop them, and if they're white, you'll leave them alone. That seems to me a recipe for a lot of grief. But the people who are very concerned about migrants and immigration, you know, are immune to appeals to reason on this. You know, the fact that without immigration, the economy is not going to flourish because, you know, we need immigrants to provide more jobs and more workers. And this is the same. All the European countries have the same problem. They've all got the same backlash against immigrants. And at the same time, they need immigrants to provide workers. You know, but this is a conundrum that won't be solved easily. And we could well get into an economic catastrophe.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that's beside the point. Really, right now is that this is the first of these searches for an illegal immigrant that we've heard of in Ulster County. And we're following the story, and we hope to get some more information about it soon, despite the fact that there's very little to get. But
we'll definitely keep us updated on that story, because like I said, it's very interesting, and especially if it's the first thing that's happening in I want to say Ulster County completely, because I know there was I talked to the youth director for Ulster County, and she was telling me there was a raid in Kingston that that happened, I think 2 weeks ago or a week ago, something like that.
Oh, I hadn't heard of that. Well, okay, there you go. So it is happening here in Hudson Valley, and you know, we've got to be prepared for it. You know, it's just I don't know what to say. You know, it's just it's a sad commentary on our times, but there we go. But that's that story.
Yeah, let's go with something a little more lighter about the application for a potential new restaurant in Ellenville.
Yes, okay. So there's been an application came back yesterday for the second go-round with the Ellenville Planning Board for a Wendy's, potentially a Wendy's. Mm. And it's the franchisee would be Yum and Chill, which is an outfit that franchises restaurants from out of Warren, New Jersey. And, you know, they had an engineer from Bowler presenting again. And it's taking over the previous space, the building and space previously occupied by Walgreens, and before that by Rite Aid. So it's a space that was actually created for a pharmacy, you know, the modern kind of pharmacy, which is like almost like a supermarket. And they're going to redo that and split it into with a restaurant at the end closest to the highway, and at the other end, a potential retail tenant space for some kind of retail, could be anything. Anyway, so there's about 6,200 square foot in the building altogether, 3,340 would go to the Wendy's, the rest to the retail. And the big issues have been about the exit and entrance onto the highway. And the change, the big change in this week was that the movement of the egress-ingress point, that road cut, will now be moved further north to the northern end of the property, getting away, therefore, from the potential problem of traffic going in and out directly across from McDonald's on the other side of the street. Mm. What this will do, if it goes through, and it's not guaranteed that it will, but if it does, if it does go through and they do come in and there is a Wendy's there, then there'll be this sort of hamburger hub. On the one hand, you've got McDonald's. On the other hand, you've got Wendy's. So it'll be a center for people who really love hamburgers and that kind of fast food. And they don't call it fast food. They call it quick service.
Quick service. Okay. I got to use that next time. I'm going to get some quick service food. So.
Yeah, quick service restaurant. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it all sounds fine. You know, there's one truck every day brings the supplies. That is an issue because it's a fairly big truck. It's called a WB50 truck. Any of you drivers out there, you know what that means. It's not a box truck. It's not a tractor trailer. It's an in-between. But it's big enough that it causes issues with all the traffic within the site. You have to come in, unload, and then get out again. You know, that's going to be one of those issues. However, the corporation is smart enough to make sure this only happens after the restaurant is closed.
Yeah.
So those sort of issues, delivery once a day, blah, blah. The restaurant, if it happens, will be open from 7 in the morning till 1 p.m. 1 a.m. And, you know, there will be a drive-through, which is the primary thing. There'll be also be, I think they're going to have seats for, what do they say? Oh, 30 indoor seats. So there will be the indoor seating option, and then there's also going to be a drive-through with a service hatch in the north wall. A typical quick service restaurant, but Wendy's, which is a little bit special, I believe, and everyone will be eager to try it out. No big problems there. Doesn't have any DEC involvement. It's a type 2 under SECA. If you know your SECA rules, you know that that's pretty much open door. It's going to the county for review by the county planning board, and I don't think there'll be much for them to talk about, except they will want to see a lighting plan. And there's just a number of little things that if you're having an application for whatever, make sure that you tick the various boxes that the planning board will tell you that the county planning board will want to see ticked. It's amazing how people don't do that and they end up spending much more money than they need to because they didn't do it. Make
right.
sure you got your lighting plan. Make sure you got your septic thing. Make sure it's done. Then you don't get any more grief. Anyway, that's potentially a good thing. Another restaurant for Ellenville and a competition for the McDonald's.
Yeah. Well, and how close is this to McDonald's? Because that was something I'm always curious about that, how either gas stations or fast food places, quick service stations, whatever, are so close together. Like, you know, a lot of times the intersection, you see like a mobile station and an Exxon station across the street from each other. And I always wondered, what is the thinking behind that? But
oh, that's corporate warfare.
Yeah, I guess,
I mean,
right?
I looked this up and I read something in some wonderfully named trade magazine that said basically Wendy's has a kind of a plan that they like to snuggle in close to a McDonald's because what they offer is seen as a higher grade or a more expensive alternative, bigger burgers and whatever it is. I don't know exactly. And so they give customers an option. You're driving up, see McDonald's, you see the Wendy's. Some people will go to the McDonald's because that's what they love. Other people will see the Wendy's, go, oh, they got the Wendy's, and they go to the Wendy's instead. I think that's the psychology. And I believe that the Ellenville McDonald's is extremely profitable and very busy. So I'm sure they can afford to lose a little bit of their trade to the Wendy's. But we'll see. Don't hold me to that. But I think that's the scheme. But the gas stations, that's a very complicated business. Hardly anybody really understands it except those who are in it.
Yeah.
And it's full of corporate warfare.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, if they had their way, they'd shoot each other.
Well, nowadays, like up here, you know, I mean, it wasn't so much in the city, but up here, you know, gas stations have become like the corner stores. Offering everything, you know, and I know like in the worst part, there was like a coffee war a little bit because a mobile station opened up across the street from Stewart's. And there was always a mobile station there, but now they added in Dunkin' Donuts. So now you have the folks, you know, Stewart's was always pushing their morning coffee, but now you have Dunkin' Donuts there right across the street from each other.
Yeah, well, that's the – we're seeing Dunkin' is an aggressive, you know, franchise company. I can think of there's a Dunkin' that's just opening in Cohonkson, up 209, a few miles, part of a which I think what will be, I think, a Valero gas station, but may not be. I don't know yet because they haven't put up the signs, which has been refashioned entirely. So it's all, it looks nice and spanking new, but they haven't opened it for some reason. And I have, every week I question Harish at Lucky's Market. What? When are they going to do it? When are the balloons, man? But they haven't got around to that. But meanwhile, the Dunkin' side of it is opening up as a Dunkin'.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but the Dunkin' in Pine Bush is still just a bare piece of ground with a new plan that's, I think it's progressing through the planning board there. But because that Dunkin' was struck by a truck that went out of control and just drove into it and smashed it. So they're having to redo it, but that one is infamous for the difficulty of the traffic pattern. So they're redoing it with a new traffic pattern, which shows, you know, flexibility and reason is being applied. But yeah, Dunkin's are everywhere now.
Yeah, it's, yeah. We actually, Sullivan County is all Dunkin' except for in coming weeks we're going to have our first Starbucks opening up in Monticello.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got a Starbucks. So we got a new Starbucks. We got a Five Below and a new Verizon store all coming to Monticello. So,
well, there you go. The Starbucks thing is interesting, too, because that chain's had some problems.
Yeah.
There's an awful lot of them, but and it's expensive, but they do the multisyllabic kinds of coffee. That, you know, if you were to scroll back to the golden age of the 50s or something and you tried to explain the various options.
The venti and all that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They did complete wonderment.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking about the businesses right next to it, it's really a couple hundred feet away from Dunkin' Donuts, the Starbucks that's opening up, so.
Well, there you go. That's the Wendy's McDonald's thing,
yeah,
again.
Oh,
right?
And that strip, and that's sort of like smaller section of downtown Monticello. There's Popeyes, Taco Bell, McDonald's, KFC. Now you're gonna have Starbucks down Dunkin' Donuts. It's all within like a couple of hundred feet from each other there. So,
right. Well, the thing is, it has pull.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody knows. And you can go while you're driving there. The family can have a fight about whether they're going to go to Taco Bell or McDonald's.
And it's a perfect location because you have a Walmart there, you have a Home Depot there, you have a shop right there. So people coming out, you know, shopping, you know, not wanting to cook dinner after food shopping sometimes, could pick up a quick dinner. So
yeah, absolutely. So that it does have that attraction, which is what villages and towns used to have on their own. Before this, you know, the evolution of box stores and you know, quick service restaurants and gas stations and all the rest of it, right? You know, I mean, and, you know, and there was something that came up. We should just quickly just finish this up with this. Was Wendy's, something came up. The Ellenville Planning Board has been very, very fortunate. They've picked up this guy, Paul Lozito, who is actually a professional planner who works in New York City. I believe he works on the Bronx, but don't hold me to that, but I think that's what he's told me. And he knows this stuff backwards. And he made some interesting points about electric vehicles, EVs, right? The EVs are coming steadily, bit by bit, right? I mean, Ellenville's got its first four spaces for electric charging in the strip mall that has the beer outlet and the cannabis store. And a liquor store, you can, while you're doing that shopping, you can have your car there and be charging. So he made the point with the potential Wendy's parking lot that maybe they should get two spaces or four spaces for two charging and have a charging station there. And that maybe this will become something that's a, not necessarily a requirement, but if an application includes spaces for electric vehicle charging, they will get a certain degree of further acceptance. It may become easier to get the rest of the thing through. And I thought that's interesting, you know, and he's bringing that up, and the planning board will be considering that and probably passing something on to the village for consideration in zoning.
Yeah.
And this is going to be the way that electric vehicle stations will come in. And at a certain point, all of the big chains, the gas station chains, are going to have to start thinking about, maybe we should have a couple of spaces for electric charging.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. In that big shopping mall that I told you where all the stuff is going, they have a whole row of charging stations there for Tesla.
There you go.
And I think Tesla, yeah. And you could put like some kind of converter, so if you don't have a Tesla, you can charge your car or whatever.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. And we're all getting, those of us who cover planning boards, we're all getting aware of the three levels of EV charging. Right. With the one you want is the EV3, because that's high speed, and it takes its power directly from the grid, and you know, rams it into your car, and it's the fastest. Yeah. So you can take a battery that's right down to the nubbins and park it in there, and you can get it all charged up, completely charged in 40 minutes. Right. So that's the whole thing of overnight. Now with a 2 or a 1, it's overnight. It's going to be hours or an hour at least to get it charged. So I can see that it will be a business for a while, at least, of having level 3 chargers so that people can come in, charge them up while they go have a hamburger or something.
Yeah. That's a good, going to be the future. So we're witnessing in real life. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Shuangkang Journal's reporter, Chris Rowley. Chris, let's talk about another story about that involves Medicaid and SNAP. What can you tell us about this?
This is a resolution from a group called Indivisible Ulster. This is you know, the people's politics rising up from, you know, ordinary people, ordinary groups. There's a group called the Indivisible Ulster, and a lady presented this resolution, which they are passing out to all 22 towns in Ulster County, which opposes harmful impacts from the big, beautiful bill that was passed in Congress this year. And it's an omnibus issue. It's about 1,000 pages, and there's all sorts of things jammed into it that hardly anybody knows about. And they may have some very devastating real-world impacts. Anyway, this one goes on to some of the impacts that we know about, and one of them would be reducing federal support for health coverage, leaving about 1.5 million New Yorkers probably uninsured. And that will just add to the losses for our hospitals and the rest of it. At the same time, that legislation will take away money for Medicaid and SNAP benefits as well. But the loss of Medicaid money will have a significant impact on regional hospitals, our rural hospitals. And this will happen all over the country. So, I don't know. It seems like pretty daft to me, because those are your Republican voters, rural America. But so the other side was, it's going to cut SNAP benefits, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, and shift those costs to the state and local governments. And New York will probably have to spend about maybe $2 billion in new costs, local costs, because about 300,000 New York households could lose some or all of their SNAP benefits. And we had another note, which is in this resolution, that Ulster County Controller Marge Gallagher has reported that Ulster County has over 17,000, 10% of county residents are on SNAP, and over 48,000 are on Medicaid. So that's a significant number of people that are going to be impacted by this. So this resolution is going out to all the towns, and the Town of Obersey Board heard it out. They take it on board, they have copies of it, and we'll see whether they come back and pass this resolution. Oh. That's something to watch in.
Definitely.
And I'll be interested to see if something like this happens over in Sullivan County, too.
Yeah. I haven't heard anything like it there, but definitely, you know, we'll definitely keep an eye on it now that, you know, we know it's happening close to home.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I know that Governor Hochul is moving heaven and earth, as it were, to get more money to support the hospitals as much as she can, and also to help to shore up people who are going to lose their SNAP benefits. Yeah. The last thing we all need is to have families who are fiscally stressed, financially stressed families, not being sure that they can afford to feed their kids. And that is just, come on, this is the richest country on earth, and we have that problem? Come on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go.
It's unfortunate, yeah. Like you said, the richest country in the world, and we have people who go to bed hungry, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, people, that's one thing, but kids, no. I just find that really hard to accept. So this is it's going to be an issue. All of our towns are going to have to address it, and Worsing has an election in November. The people behind it, the indivisible Ulster, know what they're doing. If they're adding another layer of stress to this election. But yeah. Hey, that's what elections are about,
right.
But issues, you highlight them, and you make decisions, and the people can vote depending on how they react to those decisions.
Yeah,
and that's what it's about.
And this election is going to be a very local election. Almost all the town boards have candidates vying for seats. So definitely, keeping track of what's going on. We actually started our election coverage this week. We're going to have more and more candidates come on the air and say their piece and have candidate interviews. So we'll definitely keep you also in the loop of that, because definitely we're going to need you for election night. So,
Yeah. I'm working on a piece. Actually, I'm working on a piece today. Hopefully, talking to supervisors and would-be supervisors, and we're going to be talking to the people campaigning for positions on the village board of trustees, and so on and so on. Yeah, it is. It's going to be an important election. And yeah, as you say, it's all local, which is good in some ways. I just hope that doesn't depress turnout, because there's nobody's running for president right now.
Yeah,
but we'll see.
Yeah. Well, definitely. Well,
anyways,
Chris, that's great. All good stuff there. All good news stories are happening in not good news stories, but all the news that's happening in Ellenville and Ulster County. Thank you so much for this, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, everybody, take care.
Right.
Enjoy the weekend.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that does it for the local edition. Thank you so much for joining me on this Friday evening. Tune in on Monday on the local edition. I will be hosting again, and we will have a very special local edition where I get to talk to John J. Lennon, an incarcerated journalist who just came out with a book. The book is coming out next week. So we have a full episode of me talking to him about what the book is about and the experiences he has had. Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter at wjffradio.org. You get all the news that we have this past week. And right to your inbox every Friday morning. Sign up at wjffradio.org. Check out our podcast and all the podcasts that we have here. Everyone, enjoy this weekend. Stay safe. Lucy, have a good night. Everyone else, I'll talk to you soon.
The commentators who have dared to say that the right might be overreaching here are few and far between. So far, people like Matt Walsh and Tucker Carlson said that it would be besmirching Charlie Kirk's legacy to start policing speech.
I'm Rachel Abrams. That's Today on the Daily from the New York Times.
Radio Catskill supporters include the Sterling Business and Technology Park, located at Exit 17 on Interstate 84 in Northeast Pennsylvania, offering opportunities to locate or expand businesses on property zoned for manufacturing and other uses. More information at sterlingbusinesspark.com. And listeners like you who donate at wjffradio.org.
This Week in This American Life. Immigration judges usually don't talk to reporters, but a bunch agreed to go on the record with us to describe what it has been like to do their jobs under the current Trump administration. Pressure to decide cases in the government's favor, firings.
It was an assault. It was like an old medieval castle that was under siege. They were slowly cutting off our food supply. Now they're cutting off our air supply.
That's This Week.
This American Life, Saturday night at 6 on Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville, streaming online at WJFFradio.org. This is Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR.